There's this guy named Jorge Garcia. You have almost certainly seen the video of him tearfully saying goodbye to his family at the Detroit Metropolitan Airport last week. He came here as a 10-year-old. He was brought here by an illegal alien, a relative. He was 10 years old for the last 30 years. He's 39 now. So for the last almost 30 years, he's lived in this country and he's been working as a landscaper. He's been married for the last 15 years. He has kids. He has constantly been working on trying to legalize his status. They made some mistakes along the way, almost, not errors of design, but just they actually made some mistakes. And so his status did not proceed maybe the way it should have. We'll clear that up in a minute. The point is that there he was at the airport. He has flown to Mexico. Even Bill Kristol of the right-leaning Weekly Standard said this should not be, especially since our problem is in the millions. And I'm not sure what sending Jorge back to Mexico, I'm not sure what good that does any of us. Maybe it helps another landscaper who's competing with him in Detroit. But by and large, I think this is a net loss for the U.S. His wife is Cindy, and she joins us now on WGN Radio. Hi, Cindy. How are you today?
Hi, fine, and you?
I'm really well, thank you. Is your husband's name is Jorge, right? Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
And is he in Mexico right now?
Yes, he is. He's in Mexico City.
How often do you talk to him?
It's a hit and miss due to the Wi-Fi at the house that he's at, so we just have to pretty much wait for him to call us.
Where is he living?
In Mexico City with his aunt. He does not know because he left at 10 years old.
Nice of her to take him in. Here's a 40-year-old you don't know, and now he's going to live with you.
Yes.
Does he have a job down there?
No, because we've been doing too many interviews, and he's still on an emotional roller coaster for him. So it's too hard because we're trying to get our story out because it's very important.
I understand that. Sure, I understand that.
That we're dealing with.
How long do you expect that he'll be in Mexico? What's the best case scenario? That is, he gets his status changed.
It takes 18 months just to get a date with the consulate.
18 months to get a date with U.S. consulate to then try and get your status changed. 18 months. So in that time, though, I presume he's going to try and find work down there. What are the options for him? Do you know?
Yes, we had two people approach us already, letting us know that they will be more than happy to give him a job in Mexico City.
Any idea what that'll pay?
No, that I don't know, and I'm just believing it will just pay for his house. I mean, his like rent to his aunt for food and stuff like that.
Do you work?
No, I'm medically retired from Ford Motor Company.
You're medically retired. You suffered an injury of some sort?
Yes.
How many kids do you all have?
We have two together.
Yeah. Are you a U.S. citizen?
Yes, I was born here in the United States in Michigan.
So you and your children are U.S. citizens, and he's your husband, but by extension, he doesn't have status that lets him stay, huh?
No, we tried to do the right thing and start the paperwork in 2005. It was just the incompetency of the lawyer at that time. It took 4 years before we even got anything from immigration, and when we did, we had to go into an immigration judge, and when he was asking us questions with the paperwork that she had given him was misinformation, and I had my copy, and I showed it to him, and he said, well, this is two different papers. I said, yes, that's what I'm trying to tell you. She screwed up, not me. He said, well, let me look further into this investigation, and I'll get back to you in writing. He did, and he wrote us a letter saying in 90 days my husband had to leave the country. With that being said, I got with the UAW, with LACLA, with Michigan United, and a voluntary community action program through the UAW, and we fought to get a stay of deportation for 1 year. Then we had to do it again in 2010. And from 2011 on, we were under our low radar because he's been trying to do everything right. He's not a criminal. So under the Obama administration, he was safe because we were waiting for the laws to change in order for him to be eligible to continue to change his status. But when we went on November 20th, that did not happen. The officer there told us he was going to detain him. Our faces turned white. He said, well, let me investigate a little further. came back and said it's the day after Thanksgiving. He has to leave, bring the airplane ticket stating that. We did. A couple days before Thanksgiving, we had an agent call us and tell us, okay, we look further into his case because he's always done the right thing and you guys have tried to fix his status. We're going to let him stay for the holidays. And then on January 15th, he has to leave back to his country of origin, which is Mexico. And that's when the nightmare began.
How did they even find out about you guys? You know, I mean, I guess it's this lifelong paper trail, and you had been in and out of communication with them. Did somebody literally knock on your door? Did somebody come and apprehend him at any point?
No, we had yearly visits with immigration from 2011 until now. But they knew we were trying to find a way to fix his status by the laws changing, and he fell short for DACA by 1 year, so he could not apply for that.
That was my question.
We were waiting for another law to change, and it never did, so we never got the opportunity to do it. So with that being said, he had to leave on January 15th.
Yeah, I was wondering, so he does not he's not a dreamer. He doesn't qualify as a dreamer, Cindy?
No, he does not.
Yeah. So did you all contemplate running, you know, packing up the kids and just trying to escape the authorities and staying in the country?
No, because we wanted to do the right thing. We knew that we did not want to go against authorities because that wasn't our plan at all. Our plan is to continue to go the right path and do everything right so we can bring him back. We did not want to break any laws at all.
Yeah, I suppose if that, right, because eventually you'd get caught and then your chances of maybe uniting as a family back in Detroit would be even less. Is your family considering moving to Mexico? Why didn't you all go with your husband?
The reason we didn't go to Mexico with my husband was because, like I said, I'm medically retired. I have an illness. All three of us have asthma. We have insurance here, and I'm very grateful to the UAW that I have that, but we knew that if we went to Mexico to live, we don't know if they had the right doctors and they would know our conditions that we have and if they would be able to treat us down there, and then we would have to have a certain amount of money down there, and I don't have to worry about that here because I have insurance. So I couldn't go to a country that I don't know, the children don't know, and just be worried, are they going to be able to take care of us?
Well, you are the face of the deportation of people who are here illegally. I mean, you know, I think we speak about it in the abstract, but it's unusual that we actually have the video of a family at the airport saying goodbye. Now multiply that by 17 million or whatever the number is. That's what we're trying to avoid. That's what we don't want to have happen. If the Congress comes up with some legislation here today or even sometime thereafter, you know, a government shutdown notwithstanding, when they resolve this DACA issue, do you think that will help you all or it doesn't apply to you?
No, that does not apply to us because he is in Mexico already. So I'm doing the voice for the other people who cannot come out of the shadows. I am their voice. I am like the Dr. Martin Luther King, but the Hispanic version, because they can't do it. And I understand that it doesn't affect my family, but I still feel that I have to stand up and fight the fight to show people that, yes, I am an American citizen, and I do have a voice here in my country.
Well, I'm just amazed. I thought if you've married the guy, then he gets to stay because his, and this isn't a, you know, one of those fake marriages. He's your husband. He works here. Well, although, I'm just disappointed that it's not easier than that. Number one. But number two, then, since he's been working here, does he have a Social Security number?
Yes, he has a Social Security number because he was issued one a long time ago. And he's been paying taxes ever since he started working. So
he pays,
you know,
into Social Security,
Yes, yes. So we're just trying to get him to become a lawful permanent resident, you know, for many years, but it's just a long path to citizenship. And with the lawyer who did us wrong, that's even harder because we've just had setback after setback after setback.
Yeah, yeah. But if so, my listeners are continuing to call in and question, wait a minute, how come he can't stay if he's married to you and you're an American citizen? Is this the truth, Cindy, that if you guys, if this lawyer hadn't botched the paperwork, by virtue of being married to you, he would be allowed to stay? Is that true? Or even then, he wouldn't be able to stay?
The problem was, when he entered the country, he entered without documentation. So he had to go back to his country to fix his status. That was the crime that he had committed.
So your being married to him either way doesn't save him from that, huh?
No. No, he entered at 10 years old illegally, so that was the crime that everybody keeps saying that he committed. So he had to go, in order to fix his status, you would have to go back, you know, to his original country so we can be able to make him a lawful permanent resident here in the U.S.
What do your kids think about this?
My kids are devastated. My kids can't sleep. They haven't gone to school yet. And we're going to try on Monday, but we don't know how successful that's going to be, because it's rough. Because it's an emotional roller coaster. One day you have your dad and one day you don't.
I saw them at the airport, and the anger in the young, what looked like teenage boy's face, the bewilderment, but he also looked angry, like, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this is happening, and I'm really angry that it's happening to my dad. Do you know what I mean? That was the look I saw on TV.
He was in a state of shock. He wasn't able to produce any type of emotion because he couldn't believe what was going on to his dad, and he didn't want his dad to leave, and he was real attached to him. So it was very hard for him. So he just in a state of shock, and he didn't know what to do.
How old is that young man? How old is he? That boy. How old is he?
He's 12 years old.
No. Are you going to be at the State of the Union address?
Yes, I am. I'm very grateful that I got invited by Debbie Dingell.
She's your local Democrat congresswoman in Michigan there, and so she gets one invitation, and so you'll be on TV January 30th, and I suspect that you'll still be part of that conversation. All right, Cindy, well,
yes.
good luck to you. Good luck to Jorge. Good luck to your family. I appreciate your time this afternoon.
Okay, thank you so much.
That's Cindy Garcia. Her husband, Jorge, was deported last week from Detroit. He's in Mexico.